The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your servant who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here immediately and take your place at table'? Would he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat, put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink'? You may eat and drink when I am finished. Is he grateful to that servant because he did what was commanded him? So should it be with you. When you have done all you have been commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Today is Respect Life Sunday. And that is needed if you just listen to the readings today. That first reading, 2,500 years ago, talked about destruction and violence all around and division. But that could be today's headlines. If you look in today's newspapers or listen to today's news, what do they talk about? The division in our own country because of the elections. Another black person is shot. Fires in Northern California, floods in the Southwest, a strong hurricane in the Bahamas, and internationally, another hospital is bombed in Syria. Immigrant families drown as they try to escape from the violence. The Zika virus continues to spread. All over there seems to be such violence and division and discord. So it's no wonder that in the first reading, the prophet said, "Lord, where are you in all of this? Don't you seem to hear we're about to be destroyed, to be exiled, and you seem to be doing nothing about this?" In the Gospels, in a similar situation, the apostle said, "Lord, increase our faith." And Jesus answered, maybe that's our call today too, by telling two parables. But these were about things that were common 2,000 years ago. What do they mean to you and me this morning? How do we understand them in 2016? For instance, the apostles asked for more faith, for quantity. But Jesus answered them by pushing quality. He said, if they had faith just the size of a mustard seed, they would say to this mulberry bush, "Go and throw yourself into the sea," and it would do it. Well, we probably never have seen a mustard seed. It's not the same kind of mustard we put on our hot dogs. And mustard seed was black. At the time, it was considered the smallest seed in the world. And by contrast, the mulberry bush was considered the tallest, strongest tree in Palestine at that time. It had very deep roots that spread itself out, so that it was very hard to uproot this tree. Yet Jesus told the apostles that if they had faith as small as a mustard seed, they would say to this mulberry bush, you gotta be sober at this time of day to say, "Mulberry bush, go and throw yourself into the sea," and it would say, "Which way is the water?" How do we interpret that parable? If you haven't uprooted any mulberry bushes lately, you probably interpret that as a reprimand by thinking, if I don't even have faith to see like a mustard seed, how am I ever going to do anything like throw away a mulberry bush? That's the way I thought when I used to read these words. In fact, long ago when I was in the seminary, I was really impressed by the words of this gospel, that if you had a real small faith, you could do such wondrous things. So I decided not by moving mountains or uprooting mulberry bushes, but in our chapel, on the wall, there was painted some grapes. So I was going to try this. I mustered all the faith I could, and I said to those grapes, "Vanish. Be gone. Delete yourself." I prayed that way for days and days and days, and those grapes were still on the wall. I thought, I really don't have faith, even the size of a mulberry bush. What I should have realized, it was God was not interested in removing grapes from the painted wall. God was much more interested in me having enough faith to get through the seminary and become a priest. And I did. All those years, I mustered enough faith to do that, become a cabochon, a priest, and so did you, and that's why you're here today. I think that's what Jesus was actually saying. It doesn't take much faith. It can be as small as the smallest seed in the world, and yet it can do wonderful things. So Jesus was encouraging us to look at the faith that we have, even if it seems to be small and weak. He's saying that's still enough. It's enough to get you through life. It's enough to do what you have to do. I think that's the meaning of that rather strange parable that Jesus told after that about the landowner whose servant is working out in the fields. When the servant comes home, then the landowner says, "Fix my meal." Does the landowner appreciate that when the slave or the servant does that for him? No, because he says that's what he's supposed to do. Jesus said he was just doing his duty. So what Jesus seems to be saying to you and me today is that we should be keep doing what we're supposed to do with whatever faith we have, trying to be a good father or a good mother, a good husband, a good wife, good widow, a good widower, a good student, whatever your circumstances may be in life. You don't have to keep asking the Lord, increase our faith. If you're faithful with what you have, Jesus is saying that will be enough to get you through. Maybe a story would be an illustration. Some time ago, a young couple moved into a new house. And the next morning at breakfast, when they were looking out their kitchen window, the wife saw the neighbor next door hanging out her wash. And she said, "That laundry doesn't seem to be very clean. Maybe she doesn't know how to do it right. Maybe she's not using the same soap, the right kind of soap." This went on for a couple of weeks. The wife always saying the same thing, "That laundry doesn't look clean. Maybe she doesn't know what she's doing." And then one day she looked out and said, "Oh my, look at the wash, is clean. It's bright. It's the way it's supposed to do. I wonder who told her how to do it." And the husband, who hadn't been saying anything all this time, said, "This morning I got up and cleaned our windows." Faith is like that. It doesn't take much. We just have to clean up our act and look with the eyes of faith. Look differently at our lives. And that's true even if we're overwhelmed with so much tragedy in the world or in our own lives, sickness, disease, sadness, death, hard luck, in our own life or in our country or in our world. We still have enough faith to carry us through. That's brought out in that first reading by that prophet with a strange name, Habakkuk, who lived about 2,500 years ago when the Babylonians, who are the ancestors of present-day Iraqis, were surrounding Jerusalem, threatening to kill everybody or take them out into exile. There was violence on every side, but the prophet was saying, "You don't seem to hear our pleas or do anything about it." So what does God answer? These are the beautiful words. write this vision down in stone, for the vision has its time. It presses on to fulfillment, and it will not disappoint. The just one, because of his or her faith, shall live. Does that mean we just sit around and wait? No. In faith, there is a lot of waiting, but mostly it means we work. It's working, doing our duty, doing what is expected of us, doing what we can do to change things, to really be alive, and then leave the rest to God. Isn't that why we come to Eucharist every Sunday or more often? So we can have our faith nourished, so we can really come alive and live. And a wonderful thing happens here in the Eucharist. Unlike that parable you heard where the servant or the boss has the slave do the feeding, the preparing the table, getting things ready. No, here it's the master who comes to feed us who are servants. He does that in the Eucharist. He does it in that signs of nourishment, bread and wine. And the signs look very small. A small host, you take just a sip of the wine, but that's enough. Then we go out to spread the gospel by our lives, our ordinary lives, with our ordinary faith. And that will be enough. You have Jesus' word on that. Amen.